Hi, this is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. I hope you're having a good day, and a good week, and a good month, and you'll probably be listening to this in September, which is bonkers in my head. I mean, I can't believe that, and I say this on every podcast, but I think working has made time go a lot quicker, and it's just, I can't believe, I mean, we're counting down to the 1 year anniversary of Hurricane Ian, right? Which destroyed the area that I live in. And just another year going by. My birthday is early October. And the anniversary of my mother's death, the 2 year anniversary of my mother's death, it's incredible to hear me say that, is September 23rd. So, big month coming up, I think. It feels like a big month. I am not really sure why, but it just does. So, again, if you can buy me a coffee, if you like my podcast, if you like listening to it, if it makes you feel validated, you know, I do work part-time and anything is appreciated, actually. I just made an appointment with a hairstylist I had lost contact with years ago, but he was fantastic. And I've been going from different, I'm sure a lot of you ladies can appreciate this, not having a hairstylist that you really love, you know? And I loved him. And I don't even remember why I left. But with COVID and all of that, I mean, I ended up going to different hairstyle. And I've been back and forth with so many different people. And I found him because he left, the salon he worked at got sold out. And I'm going to have a haircut with him and the money. And I was thinking, you know, I don't want to spend money on things like this, but I have a little bit of the buy me a coffee money that is going to help me with that haircut. So I do appreciate it. Thank you. Another announcement is that I was a guest on a podcast. I'm not going to say any details now because she hasn't posted it yet. As soon as she does, I will let you guys know so you can listen. Because it is tied into why we become teachers, nurses, and the helping fields. She's a former teacher, and she asked me to be on the podcast because of the three people in the podcast, because I wasn't the only guest. We all have childhood issues and mother issues. So please tune in for that. Okay. So what do I want to talk about today? I want to talk about the family, right? Not just the mom, but what do we do with the family? And the reason this is coming up is because it's been a while since my last contact with anyone in my family. I cut contact with my cousin, who is my mother's sister's son, my aunt's son, before I went no contact with my mother, because with him, I started to feel that I would have a conversation with him and I would leave the conversation and feel angry. And I didn't understand why. I was angry, frustrated, upset, sad, everything. I couldn't understand why. I remember telling my husband, like, why do I always feel angry? And just naturally, I said, I'm just going to separate myself from him. So it wasn't like I said, I'm going no contact. It was more like, you know, when he comes to, because he doesn't live here. when he comes to visit, I'm just not going to take time out of my day to go see him. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to be busy, even if I'm not busy, right? I'm going to say I'm busy and I'm not going to go see him. And that's what I did. So he's actually the first person in my family I went no contact with. And no surprise, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know why, right? He got very involved when I went no contact with my parents. And when my mother died, I will say this. I felt at the time that he was taking my place with my father. Like, he was going to be there. But he is a narcissist for sure. He is the classic narcissist, right? He's not the way that our mothers are, or most of our mothers, right? The covert, nasty, kind of underhanded, but the world thinks they're... He is the guy who walks into a room and expects everyone to pay attention to him. He's that narcissist. And he has gone through his life hurting women. And these women, I still cannot believe this. I spoke to one of his exes. And I made a podcast about this too, because it was around Christmas. Learn my lesson. Don't talk to anyone who could upset you on Christmas Eve. But that's what I did this year. I had contacted her in September. So it's going to be a year. And she got back to me Christmas Eve. Typical narcissist move. Okay? She didn't contact me because that's when she thought she should. She was told to contact me, 100% guaranteed, by my cousin. Anyway, I talked to her and my conversation with her was really bad because I got wrong information, I think. And I say I think because I still haven't gotten to the point where I know if what she told me is true or not. And I let it go. I had to let it go. I'm like, you know, if it's true or if it's not true, it doesn't make a difference in my life. It's done. And it's actually about my other aunt, the one that lives in Cuba, if she's dead or alive. I still don't know this, people, if you've been listening to my podcast. But I let it go. I had to. I have no choice. And she told me that my dad had said that he didn't want to talk to me. But I don't know if that's true either. But his actions are telling me that that's the case. Oh, Puffy's going to be in this podcast too. My cat, my oldest cat, he's old and grumpy and he just meows for no reason. And he's in a lot of my podcasts now. He's just part of it now. So everyone, Puffy is not part of my podcast. Right, Puffy? Puffy? Of course, now he's quiet. All right. So my cousin was the first one that I went into contact with, but I had contact with his son. He's 20 years older than me. So his son is only 2 years younger than me. Me and his kids grew up together, sort of. I lived in, when I was 12, we moved into the building where they all lived. And yes, they all lived in different apartments in that building. There were 5 apartments that was my family in that building, okay? My mother surrounded me with these toxic people during my teenage years. So, yeah, yay. Yay for me. That was awesome. But I had contact with my cousin, my second cousin, his son. And I love him. And I love his sister. She was like, Hi, Puffy. She was like a daughter because she was 6 years younger than me. And when there was drama going on in her house because her father was toxic and cheating on their mother, and she found out about it, I was the one who comforted her. And I love them. And I think about trying to reach out, but I know that I can't. Because she herself, when I went no contact with my mother, she called me a princess. She said I was a princess. right? Not currently. Like, she didn't say I was a princess now, but that I was raised and it seemed like I was a princess when I was growing up, even though that was what my mother wanted the world to see. The girl who went to Catholic school and all of that, but they didn't know that I didn't have enough underwear to last me a whole week. And that I went to school with holes in my socks because she wouldn't buy me socks in the beginning of the school year. They didn't know that part of it, you know, and that's just one example. And then I kind of moved away from her pretty early on in my no contact journey, which has now been 6 years, or will be 6 years very soon. Her brother, I stayed in contact with. And unfortunately, what happened was this. Again, it's crazy how these hurricanes in Florida have ruled how my relationships with my family. My mother first, and 5 years later, my cousin. You know, we were in contact. We were chatting all the time. We talked on the phone. He had a baby, and I never met the baby because of COVID. And anyway, this hurricane passes, and it was huge. It was, everyone knows, it was a Category 5, although they don't want to say that because of, I don't know what the issue is with making it a Category 5. I think insurance purposes and stuff. But it was. It stayed over us for like 10 hours. It was horrific. My cousin didn't even text me to see if I was okay. Nothing. And I thought to myself, someone who cares about me would have texted, at least texted to say, hey, are you okay? Did you guys survive? Did you guys make it? Nothing. And I realized I'm keeping this relationship alive and he's using me for gossip. And the reason I know that is because he never texted me first, right? I was always the one who was like, hi, how are you? How's the baby? He never did that first. How are you doing, right? And my daughter was visiting the month before the hurricane. And he texted me to see if I could send him a picture of my daughter. And I knew exactly what that, even my daughter caught on. My daughter's like, what the, you know, he just wanted a picture of her so he could spread it. To the family. Now, what does that, why is this meaningful? A picture of my daughter, right? That's no big deal. My daughter is gay, and her partner was here with her, and that's what they wanted to see. It wasn't about my daughter. It was about sending him pictures of them together so they could, you know, talk about me, because that's who they are. Toxic families talk about each other. Toxic people talk about each other, gossip about each other, criticize each other behind each other's backs. How do I know this? My mother hated my aunt with a passion. My aunt, the one that I'm talking, I mean, part of this family, the mother of the cousin and the second cousin I don't talk to, right? The mother of the cousin. My mother hated her. One day, I brought it up to her because my mother was acting strangely, of course, right? Being a narcissist. And I said to her, but you hate your sister. Don't say that. And I'm like, I didn't say that. You said that. You know, that's the thing about narcissists. Don't ever believe what they say, or whatever they say is only true for that moment for them, and then an hour later it could be the opposite, could be the truth. So that's how I had to handle my family. Okay. And when I, in this podcast is about what I've done, what has worked for me. Now, I think about how other people, now I have a small family, so that was easy for me. It was easy for me to just stop talking to them, right? Easy in the matter of there weren't a lot of people to cut off. It was, you know, my aunt, my cousin, his kids. Pretty much that covers everyone, right? And anyone that they knew, which I didn't have contact with really anyway, right? Not one-on-one contact. I had contact through them, so it didn't really matter. But I know a lot of you have big families. I do. I realize that. And I think to myself, how difficult is it to maneuver through that situation, right? Because the important thing, if you are in no contact with your mother or your father or both of them, is that you don't want information getting back to them about you. That's one of the most important things because that is narcissistic supply. They need to know what's going on in your life. Hence why I stopped talking to my cousin, right? Because I really didn't want my family to know. And I realized that he was telling them everything I was telling him. Everything. So, and I'm sitting here at the same time, things are going through my mind about my cousin and missing him. But at the same time, I know I can't go back. My own husband is like, if you want to, why don't you text him? And I'm like, I can't because I can't open that door again. I can't. I have to keep it shut because I don't want to give his father, his grandmother, any narcissistic supply. His grandmother, my aunt, is in her 90s. It is time for her to relax and do and stop worrying about other people. And I'm going to make that easy for her. Okay? At least for me. She's not going to know anything about me. And I really do love my cousin. But obviously, it was one-sided. He didn't feel the same way about me. So, what could I do, right? But go into context. So, for those of you that have bigger families and have special relationships where the person does understand you and agrees and saw your mother's toxicity, you can stay in contact with them. But they have to be careful, or you have to be careful that they're not going back and not knowing what they're doing, not knowing that they're being a flying monkey, might say something to their parent and their parent goes and tells your mother or someone else in the family and it gets back to your mother. That's the issue. So you have to be really, really careful who you let into your life and what you say. Now, I will say, even when I was in contact with this, the second cousin, right? It's really first cousin once removed. I didn't tell him everything that was going on in my life. And right now, since I'm working, I don't want to be in contact with them because I don't want them to know that I'm working, that things are getting better for me. I know that is, they say that's the best punishment for a narcissist. I don't want them to jinx it. I know that's not a real thing. I know my husband is like, there's no such thing as jinxing. Stop saying that. But I don't want them to think about it, know it. I don't want anything to ruin it. Right? I already was out a few days because I had a really bad UTI, urinary tract infection. I don't know if any of you ladies have had, because men don't get them as often. Not as often. Women get way more UTIs than men do. That's just a fact because our plumbing isn't inside, right? Oh, now there's an airplane. My goodness, this whole podcast is just going to be full of sounds. Maybe it'll be an ASMR podcast, right? Maybe I should start whispering and talking like this. No, I won't do that to you. Trust me, I won't do that to you. So what was I talking about? See, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, I was talking about my cousin and I know I was talking, oh, work. I don't want them to know that I'm doing better, that I'm working, that things in my life are improving because that's mine. I feel like that's mine. And I don't want them to be wishing me badly, right? Even though their bad wishes don't go anywhere, okay? Believe me, if wishing someone badly was a thing that worked, that really worked, we'd all be dead, right? Because we all have someone that doesn't like us and wishes badly on us because we're human beings. So we would all be dead or, you know, living, being homeless and having no partners because people wish bad things on us all the time. And it might be subconscious, but it doesn't really work. Okay. Do the laws of attraction work? Maybe. But it works because if you're in a store and you say something nice to someone, then it might cheer them up. It might be the day that they really needed to hear whatever it is that you said to them. And then when they have a next, you know, encounter with someone, they might be nice to that person. And that person may also be happier, get cheered up by that compliment or the nice gesture. And that it's more like, you know, moving it forward. That's what the law of attraction is like. And if you feel good and you're happy, you just see things differently. And you may see an opportunity where if you're in a bad mood, you don't see it. For example, my goal is to eventually buy a house, but the economy is not doing well. Right now, the middle class is in trouble, right? We're in trouble because houses are just not affordable, especially where I live. A lot of foreigners bought houses here and the prices skyrocketed. I know they skyrocketed everywhere, but here especially, the percentage is wrong about how much a 40-something percent increase. I would say, for example, I know someone who bought a house for like around $100,000, and that house is probably worth $400,000. That's a 400% increase, right? That's a huge amount of money, right? And correct my math, is it 400, 300%? I was a math teacher. Yes, I know that. It's 400%, right? That's a huge increase. So if I'm looking at houses and I'm in a bad mood, I'll start crying because I realize I can't buy a house now. And I don't know if I ever will because I read articles on the real estate market and it's not good. The outlook is not good for us. They say there's not enough houses. People are not selling because of the interest rates. It's just a mess. But the reality is, of course, realtors are going to put that out there so people will buy, right? I think that's the whole point of it is, oh, go buy a house now, you know, because it's going to get worse. We'll see what happens. I don't want to crash like in 2008. That was awful. But I do want the houses to go back to a more affordable place, you know, where a normal couple, middle-class couple, can buy a house again. Because that's not a thing right now. People are struggling so much. And the rents are so much more than a mortgage would be, but they don't qualify for it. It's insane what's happening. It's just crazy. Anyway, I don't talk about houses, right? But it depends on my mood and how I feel when I'm looking at it. So karma or the law of attraction and visualizing. Just sitting down and visualizing something doesn't work. You know what does work? Visualizing what you want and then taking action towards what you want. That is what works, okay? Just sitting there and expecting a big check to come in the mail is not going to happen. And I'm sorry, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. And that's your prerogative. I'm not trying to convince you otherwise. This is my experience, right, of manifestation. Manifestation comes from action, not just wishing something, okay? And I'm a person who actually believes in tarot cards, right? I have a deck and I read myself. And I do pay from time to time to have someone read me, right? Do a tarot card read for me. I've had a couple that have scared me because they've been so spot on that, and I'm like, how could they have known this information? You know, so yeah, I've had situations like that. I'll give you an example, and this happened years ago. 2018. I know I remember things like that. My husband doesn't understand, but I remember because I connect things. And the reading was real specific. I had been applying to the school district for jobs again, thinking I still wanted to be a teacher, and realized I did not. But besides that, I had gone to a psychic medium and, you know, tarot reader that I had gone to before. And I asked her, I said, you know, I have two schools I interviewed with, and I want to know if I'm going to get a job or which one. And she said to me, I see a lot of paper pushing. I think they're going to offer both jobs to you. It's going to be your choice which one you pick. And I was surprised. I'm like, no, that can't be right. And she actually was right. I got an offer for the middle school and I took it. And then I got called in from the high school, which in hindsight, maybe if I had taken the high school job, I would be happier. I don't know. I would have been happier. But because I love that school. That school I had taught at before and my daughter went there for high school. I knew the teachers. You know, anyway, she was right. Both jobs were, it was going to be my choice, which job I took. I ended up taking the middle school job and I lasted one day in preschool week. So I didn't even see the kids. I realized I did not want to teach. I really didn't. I thought in my mind I did, but I did get what I desperately wanted, which was getting a job offer from the school district that had screwed me over. And I did get that. And I think that's what I needed. I have not applied to teaching jobs since then. That was it. Anyway, so back to the family. So it's really difficult when you have a large family and you're close to other people to keep those boundaries, because if you're close to someone, a cousin, for example, and you trust them, I'm not going to tell you not to trust them. You just have to be careful and watch and see what happens when you talk to them. Watch and see if it triggers your mother in any way. Because that's how you'll know if it's getting back to them. And if they're not really aware of what they're doing, what you can do is talk to them. Just tell them, hey, when I say things to you, please don't tell your mother or don't tell anybody. Because it's very important to me that things don't get back to my mom. Okay, and see if they respect your boundary, because that is a boundary, and for us, boundaries are extremely important. Okay, I'm learning that as I'm working, that I have to keep my boundaries up pretty high as far as what to get involved in. Anyone who works in an office space, especially if you are a woman and you're surrounded by women, there's going to be a lot of drama. I am too old, and I think that's what it is. I am at the point in my life where I'm like, I just want to do my job. I want to make some friends, but I don't want to have any drama. Let's remove the drama, because I remember being young, working where I worked in New York, and being involved in all the gossip and the drama and having to know everything. And I don't have time or energy for that anymore. I just want to do my job, and I want to not have to worry about drama. And I'm trying my best, and it's going okay, right? And it's amazing how petty people can be. How petty and just the things that are happening. It's like my mind is blown. Like, really? You're going to focus on this and let this upset you? You're in for a shocker, okay? Because in a few years, something like this is going to be like, you know? And that's how I am. I'm like, I'm not getting involved. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, that. Okay. When someone's talking to me, that's how I say to them. That's what I say to them. Okay, that's great. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm sorry you feel bad. But that's where it stops. I don't tell anyone else what happened and what they told me. And I let them deal with their own drama, you know. And I'm in HR. So if someone, you know, technically, if someone comes to me to complain, it's a complaint, which my boss is the one who's dealing with that kind of thing. Luckily, he's so great. And he's a buffer between me and stuff like that. But, you know, he deals with stuff like that, and he comes and he tells me, and I'm like, is that even a thing? Like, so, like, really? So anyway, back to where I'm going. My podcasts are like conversations with you guys. Like, I go on a tangent and then I come back. So I'm not saying, I know a lot of you, those of you that are in my Instagram and my Facebook group, please join my Facebook group if you want support from other people in this situation. It is a private group, but you have to answer the questions and agree to the group rules. Okay, otherwise, you will get declined, you'll get a message from us, and you probably won't see it, right? You won't see the message because if we're not friends, the message goes to another place, and you won't see it. So please answer the questions, and don't just write N-A or yes, because that's not an answer, okay? Your answer can be no. I'm not going to tell you what the question is. Your answer can be no and a little bit of an explanation of why, but it doesn't have to be yes for you to get in, but I need an answer, okay? I need to know that you really are who you say you are. I do kick people out. I want to protect the group, okay? So I have no problem going in and going, I'm suspicious. My spidey sense is going off. I don't need more reason than that to kick someone out. Yeah, I had someone that joined, and I looked at her Facebook page. Young girl, at most in her 20s. The pictures were so inappropriate. I said, there's no way that... It's not that she couldn't really be a daughter of a narcissistic mother, but she has issues herself, and I don't really want that, right? I don't really want someone who's toxic in the group. So I kicked her out just from looking at the pictures, because my spidey sense said, nope, no, it's very hard to have empathy and sympathy for someone who's saying, oh, poor me, but look at my pictures, my, you know, I'm showing everything. No, honey. I can tell when we're not like that. We're not like that. You and I are not, I mean, I'm too old for that. But even if I had been 20, that wouldn't have been my picture. And I know that that can happen. But I'm very careful. Let's put it that way. Anyway. So some of you I know through DMs and the Instagram, my Instagram and my Facebook groups, that some of you are no contact with your mother's family or everyone, right? Every family member on both sides. And I know how hard that is, but that is the best way to get peace. Unless, like I said, I know that there are those people that you might just have a soft place in your heart. And you will know. This is another part of it. With time, you will know if that person should be in your life or not. You will know. You know, like I said, it still pains me. It still hurts me that my cousin's not in my life. My cousin's son is not in my life. Because I do care. I care about him. I care about his son. But I can't. Not if when I talk to him, he goes back and tells his grandmother. I don't want them to know what's going on in my life. So I had to let it go. I had to let him go. And like I said, he wasn't really trying too much with our friendship and our relationship. He was responding, but he wasn't actually asking. You know, the hurricane passed, he didn't text me. I was still displaced on my birthday, which is October 7th. And he didn't text me on my birthday either. That was my, in my mind, I said, okay, he didn't ask about the hurricane. Let's see if he remembers my birthday. And he didn't. And that's where I was like, I mean nothing to him. And it's not, I understand that he's busy and has a kid, a small kid, but, you know, I never forgot his birthday. Never. His birthday is December 27th. And I know it's easy to remember because it's so close to Christmas, but I never forgot it. His sister's birthday is coming up too. Her birthday is August 31st. I never forget it. Because they mean that much to me, but I don't mean that much to them. So, I had to let them go. And sometimes we have to, you know, and that goes for friendships too. If you're the one holding up a friendship, is it worth it? Are they your friend? Or is it that you're their friend? Right? And I'm right now, I am hoping that I get a couple of friends out of working, where I'm working. I met someone that I was surprised because at first glance, I had, and I know I shouldn't judge people, but it happens. It's we do it naturally, right? That's how we've survived our entire existence as humans, is judging on first impressions. Right? Is it an enemy? Right? And I didn't think I was going to like this woman. And we had a conversation. And she is awesome. And she had kind of had the same feeling about me, I think. Because the next morning she came to my office and was like, hey, you know, I have a text and we want to hang out and give me your number. And you know, and I was like, and I was going to give her my number anyway. And I was like, you know, that was cool. I think we both kind of hit it off with each other. And she's my age and my age group, right? I'm not interested in making 30-year-old friends. I mean, I'm friendly with everybody, but I'm talking actual friendship. I'm not interested in making a friend who is 30. Because me and that person have nothing in common. I want friends that are my age. Right? That we have life experience and we're in the same place. And physically, you know, it's a whole new world for us in the late 40s, early 50s. Right? So I'm hoping that, you know, that I will make a friend there. And if I don't, I don't. You know, you can't force the situation. But it seemed like we both kind of liked each other as people. And so we'll see. I guess I'll keep you guys posted. So I'm going to end there. I think I've been talking long enough. I hope that you guys get a lot out of these podcasts, because all I want is for you to learn from my experience. And I know that's hard. I know it's hard to listen to someone and say, well, my situation is different. And sometimes we just have to go through things ourselves. But at least, even if it becomes a memory, my podcast becomes a memory, right? Something happens to you and you think, oh, look at that. Millie said it in her podcast. Just that validation alone is going to be helpful for you to make the right choice in who you let into your life. I love you guys so much. I really do. I think that social media is making just such great headway in this narcissistic world, and even with narcissistic parents. And I'm so happy about that, because when I started this 5 years ago, I started the Instagram page. This wasn't a thing, right? This wasn't a thing. More and more people are starting to see that just because someone is your parent doesn't exclude them from being toxic. And that's important. I think a lot more people are going to get help. A lot more people are going to see this. And there's going to be a change in the parenting structure. I mean, narcissists will always exist, but maybe there'll be more research done so that they'll know how to help a narcissist. Because right now, it's just, I saw a YouTube video from a psychiatrist. It's just that the research isn't there. And maybe there is a way to help a narcissist, even if it is using their own traits against them somehow. Something that will actually help narcissistic people. Because how nice would it be that in the future, if there is this kind of conflict, there is a way to help them. So that you can have a parent. These that are, you know, our kids and our grandkids. If they are toxic, that there's a way to help them to be good parents. Right? You understand what I'm saying? I hope. So anyway, I love you guys very much. And until next time.